This time of year, most Americans are filling out tax forms and figuring out how much money they owe the federal government or how much they've overpaid. Karen Mary's daughter will not be among them. She is one of hundreds of war tax resistors who deliberately choose not to file. For them, supporting a military buildup is unacceptable, especially after the events of the last 6 months. From Maine Public Radio, Susan Chisholm has the story.
It's a Saturday morning in Waterville, Maine, and about 15 men and women from across the state have gathered in this church basement for a potluck lunch, a business meeting, and an informational session on war tax resistance.
Going to jail is very, very rare, and in fact, people don't, for the most part, go to jail for non-payment.
Karen Mary's daughter is leading a discussion for newcomers to the group, while experienced activists strategize in another part of the room. Mary's daughter herself has spent time in jail. She and other activists occupied a house in Massachusetts that was seized by the federal government because of the owner's refusal to pay taxes. But Mary's daughter says would-be tax resistors unwilling to take such a risk often begin with a simple step.
You can refuse to pay some or all of your federal income taxes. You can refuse to pay some or all of the telephone tax, the federal excise tax on your telephone bill.
Originally imposed as a temporary tax by the War Revenue Act of 1898, the excise tax has been used to help support both world wars, the Korean War and the Vietnam War. In 1990, the 3% tax became permanent and continues to support the general fund. Figures provided by the Internal Revenue Service for the year 2000 show about 16% of federal income is spent on social programs, and 17% is spent on national defense, veterans, and foreign affairs.
I'm opposed to that while people are hungry around the planet.
Jim Merkel is a former engineer who says he gave up designing electronic weapons components 12 years ago because he wanted to live a simpler, more peaceful life. Since then, he's deliberately kept his earnings at $5,000 a year in order to legally avoid filing income taxes. But Merkel says he's never been involved in any organized resistance.
And I came today because I really want to see, with the war going on currently, the United States war, I'm so opposed to it, and it's, to me, it's getting a bit fanatical. If people who are opposed, as I am, to war would not pay their tax, then we're going to starve the government from having their money to buy new weapons, billions of dollars of weapons.
Merkel is one of several self-proclaimed pacifists in the room who believes that even in the wake of the terrorist attacks, the path toward peace begins with dialogue and diplomacy rather than dropping bombs. There are no hard statistics on the number of war tax resistors in the United States, but the National War Tax Resistance Committee estimates it's several thousand. The IRS declined repeated requests for interviews about war tax resistance or enforcement. While Merkel has chosen legal methods to pursue war tax resistance, others are more brazen in their approach.
My name is Flo Wilder. I've been a tax resistor since 1991. I figure out what I owe every year, and I make sure that I have given it away. I give it to, you know, the people that are taking medical supplies to Cuba and the people that are buying school supplies for underprivileged communities in this country. This is what the government should be doing with my money.
Typically, the IRS will send a series of letters to someone who fails to pay before the government attempts to seize personal assets. Wilder says that if it got to that point for her, she would either leave the country or go to jail rather than pay the few thousand dollars that she owes. War tax resistors say there's a big difference between their philosophy and run-of-the-mill tax cheats. Many favor federal legislation that would allow people who are opposed to war to dedicate their tax money to non-military programs. Known as the War Tax Fund Bill, versions of it have been repeatedly introduced in Congress for nearly 30 years. The idea has yet to achieve significant political support. For NPR News, I'm Susan Chisholm in Waterville, Maine.